My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, liturgical directives at this point in the liturgy tell us that the principal celebrant can do one of two things: either give a short sermon or observe a period of silence. Now, I was trying to figure out what I should do, and so I looked to the example of our new Holy Father, Pope Francis, and read what he did this morning. He gave a homily, so that's what I'll do today. All of Holy Week is contained in the gospel we heard proclaimed, the Passion of Jesus. It's done in a very short way. But the church throughout the week that lies ahead of us will, in a longer, more reflective way, commemorate the last week of Jesus' life before his death and his resurrection. On Holy Thursday, we will celebrate the feast of the establishment of the Eucharist and when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. On Good Friday, we will once again hear the proclamation of the death of the Lord Jesus in the Passion from St. John. On Holy Saturday, we'll wait as Jesus waited in the tomb before his resurrection. And then on the Easter Vigil and on Easter Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And although we heard all of that proclaimed up to the resurrection in today's gospel, I would invite you to do what you can to participate in the mysteries of our faith during the rest of this week. You know, they're not days of obligation, but they're days that all of us who are serious about being Christians try to commemorate in some way. One of the practices that I would recommend to you was one described in the Magnificat this month by the editor-in-chief, Father Peter John Cameron, who suggested that each of us, in his or her own way, pick a character from the Passion of Jesus and accompany that holy person throughout this week. For example, some of you who are mothers might identify yourself with Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't think any of the rest of us can ever understand what it would be like to have your son crucified and experience it as she did. So mothers have a special way of inserting themselves into the Passion of the Lord. Others of us might take as our patron, rather, this week, St. Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Many of us could imitate him because we deny the Lord many more times than that in our lives. Others might take as their patron the good thief, who at the very last moment repented. And we ask the Lord to help us in our repentance as we celebrate the redemption won for us by Jesus' death and resurrection. So I think each one of us should, in some way, maybe now, commit ourselves to inserting ourselves into this reflective week of prayer, following the example of one of the holy people in the gospel. So let's pause for a moment and pick somebody. And we ask the Lord to help us accompany that person throughout this week. The Passion is long. I remember when I was a young boy, I couldn't wait for it to be over so I could sit down. As I've gotten older, like so many other things, time passes more quickly, and it doesn't seem so long to me. But I think a very important question we need to ask ourselves at this moment is, what does it all mean? We've heard the story many times. It touches our hearts and our lives. But sometimes we don't put the meaning of it all together in a very clear way. Today's second reading, from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, is in some ways a summary of the meaning of the Passion and the meaning of Jesus' life, because it describes for us the very nature of God as revealed to us in Christ Jesus, and at the same time presents to us, to each one of us, the pattern of discipleship. So my homily today is really just a brief reflection on that second reading. And for us to understand it, I would like to add a few words from the letter just before the reading of today. This is what St. Paul wrote to the Philippians and is speaking to us today. St. Paul said, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. So St. Paul is urging the community to be Christians, you know, to think of others and not just of themselves. And then for each of us as a community, but each of us individually, take upon ourselves the mind of Christ Jesus, who, St. Paul says, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, something to be clung to. Rather, he emptied himself. And not only emptied himself, St. Paul says, but took the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, the cross was the symbol of absolute abasement to the Jewish people, because only slaves were crucified. And it was the most horrible way of executing a criminal. So not only did Jesus, who was God, empty himself of the glory of God to become one of us, but he emptied himself even further by accepting death, and death on the cross. And so the mind that we have to take upon ourselves, that we learn from the Passion of Jesus, is a mind of self-forgetfulness, of self-emptying. This is the pattern of Christian discipleship. All of Christian morality can be described in that way, emptying ourselves of ourselves in order to be available to God in love and service of one another. This is the nature of God. And those of us who want to be disciples of Jesus want to take that nature upon ourselves. And then St. Paul goes on to say, this is predicting what we will celebrate next Sunday, St. Paul says, because of this, because of Jesus' self-emptying, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christian self-giving leads to God raising us up, exalting us. Jesus emptied himself, and because of that, God gave him, St. Paul says, the name above every other name, which is the name Lord, which is the title that the Jewish people use for God. And Jesus was exalted by God with the gift of new life in his resurrection, precisely because of his self-giving. And St. Paul says, and Jesus did all of this for the glory of God the Father. Now that's the pattern of Christian discipleship. And that's what we celebrate during Holy Week. Now Jesus emptied himself and we follow in his footsteps, like the man who carried the cross in today's gospel, you know, carrying the cross and following behind Jesus. Each of us is invited to do the same. So we ask the Lord to lead our minds and our hearts into the mystery of Holy Week. And we ask the Lord that we might come to know his love for us, so that we might come to love and to serve him.